Welcome to Backpacker Radio. This is episode number 7, right?
I think so.
Episode 7. I'm Zach Badger.
Bager.
Davis. Not Bager. I'm Badger. All right. I'm back on track. I got my name right this time. I'm feeling good. And to my left here today, usually you're to my right.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
This feels weird. I don't even recognize you. To my left is?
Hi, I'm Juliana Chauncey.
Chaunce, do me a favor. Tell me something wise.
Something wise?
Yeah.
Wow, this is really on the spot.
I mean, it's just your birthday. You're so old now. I feel like wisdom is just spewing out of you.
I am old. I am so old. Wise things.
Can we count your tree rings?
Yes. What? You've already said that joke on an episode.
Did I?
Yeah. So who's the old one now?
The bad thing is you say that and it sounded kind of familiar, but I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if that was like just my dementia kicking in.
No, it was when we were trying to figure out how much older you are than me. And then you were like, I'm not telling you. You can count my tree rings.
It's funny that like, okay, we joke about how old we are. And we're probably like the most millennial podcast on the internet right now.
No, you're old.
I'm old? Damn it. I am old. I guess when I'm repeating my own lame jokes.
Yeah.
That's officially old.
It's like dad status.
Zach Badger Davis, not Bager. So I want to get into the trail correspondence thing. Some exciting news. In episode 5, we announced that we are going to be having trail correspondence. People that are currently through hiking this year, sending in audio submissions. Those people have been selected, and I'm very excited that they will be introduced in an upcoming episode, probably a one-off. So stay tuned for that. There's a good chance also that they might actually hear that podcast before this one comes out, just because we have a tendency to have technical issues with our audio recordings, which tends to do things.
Our audio is perfect.
Our audio is just entirely flawless.
Spot on.
That's
true. We've chosen like what, 10 to 12 of them?
Yeah.
10 to 12 people.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I'm very stoked. The audio submissions are cool. We got a good diversity amongst them, both in age, gender, trail. What else is there? Footwear preference.
Athletic abilities.
Inclination toward gingers.
Yeah.
Some of them just despise us.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a ginger-friendly podcast.
We are nothing if not ginger-friendly.
Are we ginger-friendly?
We are on something today. We are apparently we're trying comedy. I'm going to guess failing at comedy, but trying nonetheless.
This it's all is about what happens effort. When we don't make show notes.
And before we get into today's interview, there's a couple other notes I want to get to. Namely that, you know, obviously this podcast is presented by The Trek. There are two other podcasts that are under The Trek umbrella. I think I talked about the first one, which is the Pox and Puss podcast. They are the OGs. They've been doing this for years. I want to say they started in like 2013, 2014, but they call themselves the AT Through Hiking Experience podcast, something like that along those lines. Truth be told, there's not a whole ton of hiking talk. It's more just good conversation. But I love those too. If you love the AT and you like people that are much more natural on radio, whatever this is called, podcast, check out Pox and Puss. Very good people. The other one is a new podcast that came out earlier this year called Stories from the Trail. They're newborns like we are. I think they're 6 or 7 episodes in. And if you want to check it out, definitely don't listen to the most recent one because I'm on it.
So yeah, you don't want to hear Zach's
voice. You hear enough of me as is. You've already heard enough of me in this episode alone, but both are very good podcasts. iTunes search, how do people find podcasts? Pox and Puss and Stories from the Trail.
Google.
Are people still using that?
I've got a podcast app on my phone.
Okay.
Don't know how.
Use Juliana's podcast app.
Yes, you can borrow my phone. I'll open the app for you. You can type it in and then you can give me my phone back.
Cheers to that. The other housekeeping note is we have a Patreon account. And we are actually funded now. I can't say that this is we're just scraping by, just digging out change from the couch cushions. We actually have a little bit of money coming in.
Oh, yeah.
We're up to $2 now.
That's something.
Yeah. So huge shout out to Sean Keeley for donating $2 per month to the podcast. He's single-handedly keeping this thing afloat.
There you go, Sean. You're our first award-winning listener.
You're a hero, Sean. So if you'd like to hear your name read, there's a very, very low bar to make that happen, is donating to our Patreon account at patreon.com/backpackerradio. But enough of our horrific banter. I want to go ahead and introduce today's guest.
Yeah.
Who's pretty much a fucking baller.
Yeah.
This guy's legit. His name is Jeffrey Garmeyer, also known as Legend on Trail. And I'm gonna guess I know how you got that trail name, but I want you to confirm my belief for me.
It's gonna be a little more unique story than I think you'd guess.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that then.
Zach thinks you're basic. Yeah. I apologize on his behalf.
Oh, I'm basic, but I'm not a ginger, for the record. Well, the record show it's a diverse podcast.
Get out of here.
You're beating us on that one then.
Yeah, I got the name. We were camped just at that visitor center, a little bit north on the trail from Wrightwood, California. And we left town and went and were camped there. And no one thought to bring out town food or steaks or pizza. And I was 20 years old, wanted to impress a group of 20. So rounded up some money and said, I'm going to hitch back into town and come back with pizza and beer and steak. And just kidding, I was 20, not beer. Strike that.
Root beers.
Like, yeah, that's what I meant. And then
Mountain Dew, baby.
An hour later, in my Crocs and puffy jacket, I showed up with a pizza, steak, and root beer for the whole group. And they said it was legendary. And by this point, different names were kicked around, and that one was the one that stuck.
Only in the hiker trash community do you earn the name Legend by showing up with pizza and not beer. And not because, I'm going to spoil your resume here, not because you hiked the Triple Crown in one single calendar year. He's drinking beer right now.
Yeah, true. Exactly. I was just reminiscing by taking a sip of beer. But yeah, it was one of those things. I showed up and everyone's like, there's no way you got a ride. It's dark, because we all know one of the rules of hitching, you can never get a ride when it's dark. But showed back up, couple big pizzas, steak, cooked them over the fire, had a pretty solid night.
What was it like hitching back? Like arms full of pizza and steak. Did the person that drove you like...
So I got picked up by a 16-year-old with four other 16-year-olds in his car. Awful driver, super scary. I don't even... His parents would have been mad he picked up me, a hitchhiker with a beard, and just drove me up to the visitor center, dropped me off, and it all worked out. A lot of my rides, when it's been like one of those times you don't think you're going to get a ride, have been a little interesting like that.
Right.
Okay. So we know the background to your trail name now. Tell us the full backpacking resume, or is that it? I don't know too much aside from that.
The full backpacking resume. So it all started on one cloudy day in 2011 when I hiked the PCT that year. And then in 2014, I hiked the Pacific Northwest Trail. And then I moved to Colorado and decided to work. So on the weekends, I climbed every 14er out here that year. And then I got tired of working. So that was 2015. Then I got tired of working. So in 2016, I quit my job and hiked the Appalachian Trail, then the Pacific Crest Trail, and then the Continental Divide Trail that year. And now I'm just working again, because you got to fund the adventure somehow.
That's more robust than I even know. I'm sure you've told me that 100 times. You're at all of the you've been at a lot of the thru hiker meetups that we host out here. So thank you for coming.
Like to be a little more of a listener at those, because everyone's got their stories fresh off the trail, and it's like,
yeah, but as soon as the fact that you did the calendar triple escapes, I think most of the questions are being directed at you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, the typical questions that everyone gets from people wondering about their trips, like miles per day and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we're about to go there, so brace yourself.
Oh, I've never done it before, so let's get ready.
You've practiced all your answers.
Okay, so say it again. What year did you do the calendar triple?
2016.
Okay. And give us your start and finish date for each trail.
Okay. February to April on the Appalachian Trail. And then...
Yikes.
And then... The
second
of May to the end of July for the Pacific Crest Trail, and then end of July to October 15th for the CDT.
So February to October, end to end.
Yep.
That's nutty.
252 days, I think.
Yeah. You know, just based off of our conversations from previous thru-hiker meetups, it sounds like the AT was the biggest ass kicker of the three. True or false?
True. Yeah. So week two, going through the Smokies, it hit negative 15 and there were between 3 and 4 feet of snow. And any person that's hiked knows that week two is probably the worst week because you're sore and tired. And I'm walking through snow and cold, like I can't even carry water. It's so cold. And I'm just thinking, wow, I have 8 more months of this if I'm fast.
Right. At that point, were you questioning what you were doing?
Oh, yeah. That was the lowest I was. It was, a couple shelters on the AT down south. And it was just like, man, is this even fun? Like, I can go to Mexico and spend all my savings. And would that be more fun than hiking for 8 more months?
Yeah. Actually, so shout out to Anish. I think she's made this public. So if not, I might have to edit this out.
She has.
Okay. So she's going for the calendar triple this year. She is. Yeah. And the AT is getting pummeled this year. It's not been an easy season.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's as bad in the north as it is in the northeast, which I guess is irrelevant to northbounders right now. But certainly there have been easier years. So she's probably going through a lot of what you went through in 2016.
Oh, yeah. We traded a couple messages and it was like, yeah, it's going to be fun, especially the Kennebec.
Yeah. Okay. So are you the only one in the Smokies at this point?
Yeah. No one else is in the Smokies. So a lot of people start like January 1st. So I passed some of those people. But then everyone like waits out the Smokies till the right time to go through. And I went through and went into, I think it's Standing Bear Hostel there, right past it. And they're like, we didn't expect anyone. What are you doing in the Smokies?
Yeah.
And went across, is it Newfound Gap? Or there's a road that crosses there and there's a bathroom. And the road was closed, but I just huddled in the bathroom and like cooked on my stove and like tried to stay warm in there. But no tracks, no nothing. And the trees... So the white blazes were covered in snow because they were snow blown. So I got lost. I walked the wrong way a couple times. I had a good experience.
How did you navigate?
I only had the trail guide, so I didn't have any GPS or anything. Huh. So it was just intuition, which wasn't always right.
That's hardcore.
Hmm.
So you said that at Standing Bear Hostel, you were the only one there and you probably turned a lot of heads. Was that the case the entire length of the AT? Just showing up at hostels with people being like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, a lot of that. And trail towns especially, it's like, isn't this a little early? Like, why wouldn't you just wait a couple months? And it's like, yeah, no, I would have if I had the choice.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's a unique experience. Like everything was closed at Pine Grove, about the halfway point. The half gallon challenge, it was closed. So I didn't get that. All the waysides and the Shenandoahs were closed.
Oof.
So I have a really different interpretation of the AT than a lot of hikers.
I think you just listed some of the most, at least my favorite aspects of thru-hiking the AT. It was just the access to ice cream.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could just like throw some sugar on the snow, I guess.
And so this is your only AT experience, right?
Only AT experience.
Do you want to go back or is it left a bitter taste in your mouth?
A bitter taste. It's not at the top of my list, but I'd think about it. If I did it again, I'd probably do it with someone and go for like the complete opposite social side versus the solitude of a trail that no one gets any solitude on.
Right. Yeah. Take 7 months, take 25 zeros.
I don't know if I could take 7 months unless there was a lot of beer and alcohol involved.
I guess that'd be challenging for you. Just backtrack to a conversation we were having, Chance, before you showed up, is you had 5 days off recently, and 2 of those days were spent doing an out and back across the entire length of Zion. It was a total of 100 miles in 2 days.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Just got 5 days off work and left work that night, drove through the night, started... And just was like, let's see as much as I can. So did the Zion Traverse, I guess you'd call it a double Zion Traverse, out and back. And then mostly because I didn't want to worry about hitching back to my car. So I thought, let's just walk back. So.
Yeah.
That's like Forrest Gump when he goes all that way and he's like, I guess I'll turn around now.
Yeah. It was like, well, okay, this is the edge of the park. Let's turn around and go back now.
Yeah. And just quickly give us the mile breakdown day one and day two.
Yeah, I think day one was about 40 miles and day two was about 60 miles.
So are you running or are you just like walking incredibly fast and long?
So there's a couple areas where it's pretty long downhills, and I'd run those. But so all I took was a really lightweight sleeping bag and slept 2 or 3 hours a night and was super cold, so it wasn't that comfortable. And then food, and then I just drank water where it was. So I had a light pack and I jogged some of it, but I did hit a lot more snow than I thought. But it was just, it's kind of like hiking, you know, you kind of have a range of your paces. So beyond that, it's just hours you put in.
Right.
So it was just putting in 20 hours one day and 15 or so the next.
And so how many miles an hour do you usually walk? What's your pace typically?
Comfortable is usually between 3 and 3.5. And then I'm like, let's say like some of the places on the CDT, you can get up to 4 without too much issue. The flatlands and stuff.
Right.
Is the CDT much more mile crushable than the PCT?
Man, that's a good question. For me, probably the first 2/3 were, but it was probably I was in really good shape.
Yeah, sure.
So there's areas that are mile crushable, and then there's like the Wind River Range where one day I was doing kind of an alternate route, and it's like, wow, I've gone 8 miles and it's 1 o'clock. Damn, but this is awesome. We'll worry about it later.
Yeah,
so
sure.
There's
like
areas
every day on my hike.
Which, yeah, that's also a good way to hike if you hike that way.
Yeah. Okay. So is there one day in this calendar triple experience that stands out as your favorite?
Oh, favorite. I thought you were going the other way.
We'll get there.
My favorite. Yeah, I think I was, so I had to duck into Mammoth because I ran out of food through the Sierra, and Yosemite at Tuolumne Meadows wasn't going to be open. So I had to go down into the valley to get my stuff because I went through the Sierra too early, I guess. But right after I got food at Mammoth Lakes, since I'd been out of food for like a day, I was hiking and was going to hike late to try to make up miles or something. And then I saw the sun setting right over all the jagged peaks of the Sierra. And then I saw this flat spot that was like perfect and the remnants of a fire ring. And it's like, I cannot walk by this if I'm doing this for fun. So I went over there, set up my tent, had a fire, ate all this extra food I had. And it was like just the magical moment that if you've hiked, you have at least a few of them.
Sure.
So there were a lot of days like that, but that's one fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
And would you take zeros or would you just every time you needed food, go and get back out there?
Yeah, I didn't take any zeros on trail except for to go into Yosemite Valley. And on that zero, I climb Half Dome, so just put in 18 miles.
That does not count as a zero.
Yeah, I like that your zero was bonus miles. It's amazing. So I want to stretch out that question of your favorite day and see, can you cite a favorite day from each trail?
That is a good question as well. Katahdin was probably my favorite on the AT.
Because you summited when?
I summited way earlier than most people, and I summited with a friend, Rooster, who's a photographer, came out and we hiked the last day and a half together, mostly so that I could use his car to get back to civilization. But still, it was one of those things where it's like, holy shit, this trail is over. This has been an ass kicker.
Yeah.
So, and then it was like, I get to go to the desert and it's snow free. I'm so excited.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure after was the AT 3 months?
The AT was 84 days and then 79 for the PCT and 80 for the CDT.
Oof,
that's insane.
I was very proud of myself for doing the PCT in 100 days.
Yeah, you suck.
And then like,
well, I trained for the PCT by doing the AT.
Sure,
first, so.
Sure. That's fair. But I mean, the fact that you did the AT in 84 days without, how much training did you do for that?
Mostly a lot of eating training.
And so did you have like your gear totally nailed down? Like what was your base weight when you started?
So I didn't, and I don't really know, but not that much. So I'm kind of like the Zion trip, decide to do it the night before and just throw everything in the car, have enough in the car to figure it out there. And that's kind of how I hike. It's like, all right, I'm going to do this. Let's get ready in like a month and a half. Let's try to figure it out. And then worst case, we'll just run up the credit card along the way or something.
So. Well, so you had other through hikes under your belt at that point. So you had some confidence going into it, obviously.
It was the winter portion that I had no confidence and didn't know too much about and all.
What was your sleep system for that?
For that, I had a pretty heavy down sleeping bag. It was like rated to -5, maybe.
Do you remember what it was?
It was a Red Fox Yeti -20 or something, but that's Celsius, I think.
Uh-huh.
something like that.
And what about your sleeping pad?
Sleeping pad, I use the cheap Z-Rest, I think, system.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was called a lot. Are you not a gear nerd? I like a lot of gear. I don't purchase a lot or, I don't know, like I have 30 pairs of shoes in my house and probably 20 of them are worn out and I should throw away. I have a few tents and I should get rid of one, but.
So you're a hoarder.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're a pack rat, but you can leave it all behind.
I know I can get a few more miles out of them.
Yeah.
In 2011 through the Sierra, I broke my pack going into Kennedy Meadows and I found a pack in the hiker box and sewed it up with dental floss and got 200 miles out of it. So that kind of sums up. Well, I can get a few more miles out of this. This is a little better than what I got.
Yeah.
So. Just give me some dental floss and a sewing needle.
That's it. I mean, my mom taught me well.
Classic hoarder mentality. Okay, so you did the AT, PCT. What about the...
I'm not a hoarder.
Let the record be straight.
Favorite day on the CDT?
The CDT. Probably the Wind River Range going over the Cirque of the Towers. Just... dropping down to some of the lakes and getting the reflections of all the peaks and everything around. And so I was out of food, but it was like, I'm going to go the extra miles because this is too amazing. And I don't know when I'll be back here.
Yeah.
So I don't know, the 2 or 3 days, like through the heart of the Wind River Range were just incredible.
So what was your worst moment on trail?
My worst moment. There were two and they were both on the AT.
Noticing a theme.
Yeah. One was right after the Mahoosuc Notch. I did great somehow navigating it in really high snow and being scared I would fall down one of those giant tunnels to the center of the earth. I only lost a water bottle, so that was nice. But right after that, I was hiking and going up the arm and I sat down to take a break and kind of reassess if I was even on the trail. Put my pack down and my tent was gone from the back of it. So it got pulled down through some brush.
Ooh.
Well, good thing you had seven more at home. Yeah. The choice it was.
Well, yeah, not really. They're not worthy of AT hiking. Yeah. Come on. They only have a few summer miles left. But yeah, I hunted for it for like 2 hours. And then when I was going to give up, I was sitting down and then I just saw a red stuff sack sitting off in the distance. And it was like, holy shit, that's my tent.
Oh, it followed you.
Made it over that. And then the other moment was the Kennebec River where I thought I would die because the ferry wasn't running. So,
oh, yeah.
I thought I would just swim the river.
And the ATC is very adamant about not doing that because apparently the dam above it like will raise and lower at any given moment. And once it lowers,
imagine you're swimming a river and a dam just lowers. I fucking lose my mind.
Oh, damn.
Good.
Damn it.
Yeah. Jinxing on the dad's jokes. I love it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I want to hear more about this. Sorry.
Yeah. So it was... The water was, I think I looked it up, it was like 39 degrees. It was probably 40 outside. And I got to the river. There was no ferry or anything because it's way before they had it set up. So they don't want you to even swim it in the summer. And so the winter is probably even dumber. But, you know, I'm pretty smart. I've seen like Survivor Man and the Bear Grylls shows. So it was like, all right, I have to get naked so that I have dry clothes on the other side.
Yeah.
So I put all my clothes in a dry bag, was naked, and just major shrinkage. And then just...
We weren't going to ask, but thank you for going.
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
There was a lot to shrink from. But I'll never forget the moment when I was walking out and it got deeper quicker than I thought. And then... The moment when my foot came down and didn't hit the ground and then I was kind of flailing in the water and then doggy paddled in the current. And I later learned if I would have gone a little further upstream, it would have been a lot easier to cross.
That's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Many times apparently. But yeah, it was bobbing up and down. My legs were cramping up. A lot of paddling. Then on the other side, so... I did make it safely. That's why I'm here.
Spoiler
alert. Yeah. If you're reading my book, yeah, I did make it. And on the other side, I just sat down on a rock and was like so spent emotionally and physically. It was like, and so I hadn't had food for, I think it was about a half day that time. And my package of food was like a mile or whatever. I think it's Caratunk or something.
Uh-huh.
Is like half a mile away. And it's like, man,
is that what a brewery is?
Yeah, but it was close.
Of course, everything was close, right?
Yeah, yep. But yeah, it was just like, wow, I'm not even hungry. I'm just so scared. Why did I do that? Yeah. I cannot be making decisions like that anymore.
Did you cry at any point?
I did not cry. No.
Not a single tear.
When was the last time you cried?
I've cried after the trail just once. I've cried once since I was 2 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, I just, you know, was so impressed with myself. Tears of joy.
Really?
We're going to have to do an episode on toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just kidding. Okay, I've cried many times every day in my night to sleep. I cry every morning on the way to work.
Is that a tear coming out of the
No, it's just my eyes are dry. Allergies.
So you mentioned swimming across the Kennebec. A callback to the previous episode where we're talking about thru-hiking purism. There's so many people on the AT that say they do a pure thru-hike, and then they take the ferry across the river. People don't even realize the...
Are you telling him he didn't do a true calendar triple because he swam?
Yeah, oh, okay. I guess. Yeah.
No, so you're going to have to leave now.
Yeah.
I painted a blaze on my pack. So it was basically the ferry.
but I think that's one of the, you know, paradoxes of the purism debate on the AT is that pretty much everyone takes that ferry. Right. And there's a lot of people that do that, that claim they did a pure through hike. Like, you know, you don't get to pick and choose like that. You know, there's a... Anyways,
this will be brought up on the toxic masculinity podcast.
I think one of my funniest things like that about like nitpicking was this summer, like obviously on the PCT Facebook page, there was all kinds of like shit going back and forth about like people cutting miles or like, you know, or skipping or flipping or doing whatever. And someone had just commented, well, for all of you that went through the Sierra, I see pictures of you glissading, not doing the switchback. So how many miles did you skip?
It's actually a fair point. It was so funny to read that.
I was like, that's literally
hilarious. Where's the line between yellow blazing and glissading, right? Because you're not hiking.
That'd be white blazing still though, right?
White blazing?
Yeah. Is that what glissading, that, you know? Yeah. Just a white streak up your ass?
Fair enough. I'm curious, were you forced to skip any miles on the calendar triple?
So it was closed from the Mission Creek fire was still closed. Oh. So I hiked from, there were two trail angels right at that highway. I think it's like I-10 or something. So I hiked from there up to Whitewater Preserve and then a couple miles past that to the closure. And then I hiked the same miles back out, took a ride to San Bernardino, a bus, got a little car sick up to Big Bear, and then went to, I think it's called Onyx Summit up there where it's open again, and then started there. So, there's a little chunk there where it's closed, and it was I think they said it was like $2,000 fine, and that would have ended my hike. So it's like, we'll put in the miles, we'll get as close as we can, and then we'll, you know, it's kind of what the trail brings you.
Sure. That's the PCT. So obviously you're having to pull big miles executing on a calendar triple. Were you able to have fun while you're hiking too?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. So every moment that I had to socialize or kind of enjoy towns, I definitely would. I got kicked out of an all-you-can-eat buffet. I woke up in places I wasn't quite sure where I was. There was a lot of enjoying the trail along the way too. The difference was that wouldn't be an excuse for me to not hike the next day. It was more like, well, you did this to yourself. You still got to do the same thing today.
Sure. Were you doing this by yourself? I can't imagine there's other hikers around.
No one else wanted to join me. So I hiked with a few people for a few days at a time, yeah. I guess would be the most, and then kind of move on. Sometimes if I spent a little too much time in town at the bar, then they might catch up or something. But largely it was like, I'm not taking days off. I'm pretty much averaging over 30 miles a day. It's like, no one really wants to do that. And it's a days off thing that I think a lot of people like to take days off at iconic places and regroup and things like that.
Right.
And that was not in my schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. Taste of that hike in the PCT last year and what is a very slow pace compared to what you did. But, you know, compared to the way that I hiked the AT in 2011, take a drink.
Wait, so you hiked the AT?
I did, 2011.
Oh my gosh, should we talk about it?
I think this is the first time we brought it up, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard this yet.
Just like counting tree rings.
This Wait, is how did you get started hiking? I thought the PCT was where it all started.
Yeah, so funny story. In 2011, I hiked the Appalachian Trail.
Wow.
It's a pretty cool trail that goes from Georgia to Maine.
No, that's the East Coast one?
So if you're familiar with the PCT.
Is that the wild
that's
one?
That's the one. Yeah, the wild, right?
The other one.
Oh, okay.
This is the walk in the woods one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So you're like almost as cool as Bill Bryson.
I'm roughly 1/8 as cool as Bill
Bryson. Wait, you wrote a book and you hiked the trail. Are you his son?
Are you Bill Bryson?
I'm Bill Bryson's son.
I'm Bill Bryson.
I'm going to end on that note because that's as good as it gets.
No, I liked this. I think me and him should just make fun of you for the rest of the
episode. I thought you guys were interviewing.
I wish you didn't have a trail name. We could call you Bry Sons.
So, okay, you're crushing mad miles. What was your longest day on?
I think the longest day was just 53 miles or something.
Just 53 miles?
Well, okay, that's a bad way to say it. It was 53 miles.
Whoa!
Yeah. But yeah, so there are definitely people in every year that hike more than that. But the whole thing was 50, getting up to upper 50s and into 60s. Like, it's where it's hard to hike the next day. And kind of the perfect ground for me, and depending on the terrain, is, you know, the mid to high 30s or so.
Yeah.
And the 52-mile day was just so that I could set up to get into Agua Dulce, go to the Trail Angels there, and then hike to the Andersons the next day.
I did that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's impressive for me. That was only like 24 miles, but I was killing myself to make that happen.
That's really good.
Literally, like, everyone I was with like thought I would not make it. They had all gotten to Casa de Luna well before me. And like, we're all drinking and like had basically been like, she's stopped somewhere to camp. And pitch black out. Everyone's like about to dance for their bandanas, and like a car turns up, and I get out, and they're like, "What the fuck?
I just hitched here."
Yeah. Basically,
I gave up.
I've done something.
Now, do you hike with a headlamp, or is your cinnamon glow enough to hike in the night?
No headlamp.
Yeah.
And I put in my because like that area, for example, there'd been a lot of posts recently about how mountain lions had been sighted, and I'm like, okay, I'm 5 foot hiking at dusk by myself, like prime target. So I put my headphones in and turn the volume up really loud.
So you couldn't hear him coming?
Right. I was like, if by the time they see me, I'm done. I don't stand a chance. So I'd rather just not know what's happening. So I put the headphones in, turn the volume up really high. And then I wouldn't get scared every time like a deer would go by or to a good snap, because I just wouldn't know.
Ignorance is bliss.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I've said my whole life.
So you talked about in when you were introducing your trail name, you talked about an interesting hitchhike. I'm curious if that one stands out as either your best or your worst hitchhike, and if not, what those were.
Oh man, yeah, that doesn't register too much.
No.
From Etna Summit down to the bottom, I got a ride from a guy pulling a trailer, and he had a 30 rack in the middle, like on his console. And he offered me a beer. He was pretty hammered. And so it's like, well, there's only like 5 left. If I drink like 3 of these, you can only have 2. So I started drinking them as quick as I could.
Getting drunk is self-preservation.
And then there's bugs crawling on me on his seats and stuff. So that was an interesting ride. But I think the one that'll top it is going into Lincoln, Montana. This kid picks me up with a windshield it's not just cracked. It's like spider cracks where you can barely see through it. And he has a bottle of whiskey in the center console, and he says it's his 21st birthday, and he's driving to hang out with his friends in college to like celebrate turning 21. And he's already pretty hammered. Don't ride with drunk drivers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But in this case, there wasn't much other option.
Yeah.
And, he wasn't doing that well. And it was once again, like half the bottle of whiskey. He's like, yeah, you want some? And so, man, I forced down so much whiskey. There was only like half a sip left. But I still remember my throat burning, just like, it's like chugging water when you're like just so thirsty. That's how it was with whiskey. It's like, come on, if he got here this far, like, let's not give him any reason to crash on the way into Lincoln.
I wonder what people like that, like, are thinking right now. Like, what do you think he's thinking? Like, oh, like, remember that time I picked up that crazy hitchhiker that drank my entire bottle of whiskey? Yeah.
When he listens to this?
Oh, he should.
He'd definitely be listening to it.
Yeah.
We have
a strong Montana audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got, like, second 40... to our Norwegian audience.
This is true.
Which is second to our Mexican audience.
Yeah. And then close behind that is Ecuador and then Narnia.
We're huge
in Narnia.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Top podcast there.
Longest day. That's probably the same thing as.
Yeah, we said 53 miles.
53 miles. I was interpreting that as maybe like the perceived longest day. Like, if, I don't know.
Oh, like maybe he hiked the 53 really fast. I hiked
24 hours in the Big Lows in Maine. And I made it like 39 miles. It was. It was pretty rough.
Is there still snow up there at that point?
Yeah, it was ice. And then, so it wasn't so bad like until 3 a.m. And then I started crashing. And then I started post-holing on the way down. And then I just found, I think it was a Big Lows, something like that, one of those. And then got to this spot where it was like a campsite and I thought it was going to be a shelter. Turned out it was just an outhouse. And I tried to sleep in there. And it was just way too cold. So after 10 minutes of turning over, I just started hiking again and it was just too cold
in the outhouse.
Yeah.
Wow. That's when you know you're cold.
And it was post-holing just from the whole day. So it was 24 hours, 39 miles or something.
Oof. So what time do you normally wake up to start hiking?
So for the most part, I try to treat it like a vacation where I'm going to get up when the sun comes up pretty much. I try not to set an alarm. And so, but I sleep outside without a tent as much as possible. Yeah. So it's like the sun will wake me up. So it was usually, but on the AT, I would set an alarm for way too early and it would be dark the first hour of hiking and the last two or three at night. So it was... this is like therapy. I know why I didn't love the AT.
Yeah.
We've mentioned we should get one of those nice long couches you can lay on.
That's what I'm laying on right now.
I always envy people that can wake up when the sun comes up. Like the sun comes up and I don't register it. I'm just like, okay.
I thought you were a morning person.
Yes, because I have a self timer attached to my light in my room that turns itself on at 6 a.m. And then I finally start understanding that my alarms are going off around 6:30.
All right, we're gonna make legend here, the official jury of this conversation. Based on what you've heard, is that the description of someone that is a morning
person? That's so out of context.
Let me put it like this. Everyone thinks they have a really good sense of direction and that they're a morning person. And a lot of people are awful sense of direction and are not morning people. So let's just leave it there.
I need to give some context because Zach has made this sound really bad. Basically, I've decided that I don't have enough hours in the day to do everything I want to do every day. So in order to get more hours in the day, I have to wake up earlier. And I don't like waking up early. So it was like, okay.
So morning person.
Thank you.
We're getting there.
Sound effect, so, Judge Gavel.
Anyway, I hooked up my lights to self-timers. That way they turn themselves on and wake me up. Set a bunch of alarms. And I'll have you know, for the past 3 weeks, I have gone to the gym every morning before work and done like 4 or 5 miles before work every single day. And I don't particularly enjoy waking up that early, but I've done it every single day.
And this is your millennial podcast. She gets an award.
I don't want an award. I'm just saying I'm trying to become a morning person. And Zach's putting me down by saying you'll never be a morning person because you don't enjoy
it. It's not. All right. I don't want to get into an inside argument, but you're misstating me anyways.
No, you said that word for word.
Yeah.
And then you said, fuck you.
I guess your memory is better than mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious, how much did your gear change from trail to trail, or maybe not trail to trail, just as the, over the course of the calendar triple?
Yeah. So I started out with probably a couple pounds extra clothing on the AT and then got down to maybe 9.5, 10 pound base weight for the PCT just cause trying to stay pretty light, but I'm not ultralight cause I like a stove and some things like that. And then on the CDT, pretty much like the PCT until the end. And I got some pretty big snow in Colorado. And then I switched to a little heavier gear just for the last, I don't know, like 900 miles or so.
Hmm. What is New Mexico like? Wait, you're hiking north or south on the CDT?
South on the CDT.
What's New Mexico like in October?
It was a little cold at the beginning, but it's like perfect. Everything was perfect. But the last, I don't know, 90 miles of the CDT, there's not really any natural water sources. So luckily there was water in the caches, because if there wasn't, I wouldn't have had any water.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing, I guess, if it's off season or something like that. But finishing in mid-October is not really off season for the CDT. Lots of people finished around when I did or after that.
Hmm.
So actually the CDT is where a lot of the people on that have done other hikes, and the people on the AT in Ledore made me eat a half gallon of ice cream to commemorate that. That's a part of the AT. So there was a lot of camaraderie and socializing on that trail.
Did you do anything to celebrate the halfway point on the PCT?
The halfway point on the PCT. I didn't really do anything. No.
I feel like the PCT is missing. Like, I'd really love to have.
Would it be like challenge. Drake's Bad or Chester or something?
Chester. It's not precise, but it's close enough.
I went to a brewery and they had me sign my name on the wall. Does that count?
Yeah.
No. there's what's the Pine Shack Frosty? I want to say it's called
Pine Grove. Shack. I think it's Pine Grove. It's the community's called like Pine Grove, I believe.
Isn't Pine Grove the one on the AT?
Is this in Chester?
Oh, that's what I was talking
about. Oh, I'm talking about, okay. So there's a restaurant in Chester.
Okay.
I want to say it's the Pine Shack Frosty.
Okay, you know, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it. I'll tell you what, though. So we didn't go there for those because I don't remember why, but we had gone to this. There's a little like a souvenir knickknack like novelty shop right near like the outdoor store. In Chester. It's like a little bit down the road. And we went into this novelty shop just because I think I had to get something for someone for their birthday that I was going to mail. And they had an ice cream bar, like one of those like old fashioned, you go up and sit at the ice cream bar and they show over like ice cream sundaes and stuff.
Like a parlor.
Yeah, exactly like that. And the woman was like really excited to have PCT hikers. Huh. Was like, you know, I give free ice cream to PCT hikers, which no one knew about. And then she was so kind. She was like, I get off at 5. I'll drive you guys back to the trailhead. Don't worry about hitching.
Whoa.
Like that little novelty shack. Like, what am I trying to say? The little novelty shop?
We're 7 episodes into this podcast and you're now revealing this information?
Yes.
But no name of the shack. I mean, just that place.
Description.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't know how we got the shack part. Did I say the shack?
I think what's the name of the place I'm thinking. I think it's a Pine Shack Frosty. Now I'm
I don't know what place that
myself.
Is.
So there's 2 nuggets of information. Gold, really. What Chauncey said.
Silver, maybe.
Bronze at best. also, the Pine Shack Frosty. And now I think the name's just changing in my head. But I think this place could be the unofficial halfway celebration, because they're large. I guess what the equivalent of like a Blizzard from Dairy Queen is.
Okay.
It is gigantic. Like, okay, if you can finish it, it's not on par with a half gallon of ice cream, but it might be in the realm of half of that.
Okay, so what I'm saying, halfway point, you have to eat 2 of those.
They also have a damn good half pound burger that you can get there, so I feel like there's ingredients we can work with to make a worthwhile challenge happen.
I can now say some solid information. I've done a Google. The place I went to was called the Lassen Gift Co. It's a gift store in Chester. And look, the picture is even of.
So you're guaranteeing free ice cream and shuttle rides.
No, I'm guaranteeing really nice people and the ice cream's really good. And if you happen to get it for free, then that's good luck for you. But don't expect that.
We should reach out to them to see if they want to become like the official halfway celebration point. I feel like we can spearhead this right now.
Okay. Let's just send everyone there. And then they'll be like, whoa, what are all these people doing?
Yeah. All right, they're about to get a flood.
And if you don't finish, you have to pay for it. You have to mail back the money for the ice cream.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. So I want to go a little bit more into your gear. So when you switched from your crazy winter AT setup back down to like your 9 to 10 pound base weight that you're talking about, what was your big 3 at that point?
I had a Big Agnes Fly Creek shelter. I used a tarp for some of it as well. I kind of switched back and forth for depending on weather and stuff like that. So
you have someone at home that's coordinated?
Yeah. My dad kind of supported the whole thing. The attic turned into like a whole base camp situation with a bunch of really shitty dehydrated food, but he'd throw it in a box, mail it out, and I'd steal hot sauce from Taco Bell to make it taste good enough to eat. but so um, the That's a tent for the backpack. I use a granite gear pack, and then I also used a Red Fox pack as well. And
you don't see too much Red Fox gear on the trail.
No, never. Not really at all.
Are they paying you to say this right now?
No, not at all. I mean, they can send me more free gear. I'd love a new pack. Anyone out there in free gear, I'm easy to buy.
Yeah. I don't think you'll have any trouble getting free gear.
Add it to a sporting stash.
It's like, I beg to differ.
Yeah, I mean, thru hiking does not pay the bills.
That's true.
Well, so Zach.
Touche.
But about a full
slinging the burns over here.
Yeah, like, man.
Zach, did you not know you were coming to your own roast today?
Show no mercy.
We actually had a Google Doc set up, and it's just a list of things we're going to burn you on.
It just was so apropos.
I shoot straight fire.
That is true.
Yeah, so about a 40-liter pack the whole way. And sleeping bag, katabatic quilt for 80% of it, and then the Red Fox sleeping bag. Red Fox is more of a mountaineering company anyway, so that's why I kind of use some more of their stuff for the AT.
Gotcha. If memory serves, 2016 was about an average snow year in the PCT?
Yeah, it was a little bit above average. It was the first year out of the drought, so in that year, it got blown out of proportion.
Right.
And so going up to the Sierra, you get awesome rumors about everyone that it's impassable. No one will make it. And it's like, guys, 2011 was way worse than this. I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure you were it's probably nothing compared to what you experienced on the AT, right?
Yeah. The creek crossings were pretty crazy, but it wasn't it was comparable to 2000. So I went through a month and a half, almost 2 months before I did in 2011. And the creek crossings were similar and everything was snow, but I recognized a lot of it. So it wasn't so bad.
So you went through in 2011 on the PCT?
Yeah.
Did you meet the Dusty Camel by chance?
I did. Yeah.
No way.
At the Andersons, I believe. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We talked about Dusty Camel on Java's previous episode.
Good Let's guy. Just say I barely remember meeting him at the Andersons because I had a lot of fun. I told everyone I had poison oak for a few days. That's why I took a couple days off.
Okay. Big three. What about footwear? Are you using trail runners from start to finish?
Trail runners start to finish. I used waterproof trail runners through like the smoky section because they kept a little more heat in, but I probably would have thought about boots through some of that snow.
Yeah, sure.
But it was... That was kind of, once you're in the situation, you have trail runners on, it's like,
what were you using?
Keep going with this. I used Columbia shoes for most of it. Actually, all of it, Columbia shoes the whole way, and just pretty cheap shoes. Yeah. Had to pay for everything myself.
Yeah. I sense some resentment with that statement.
No, not at all. Through hiking is not that cheap, guys, unless you don't eat anything in town, don't drink beer, and don't stay in hotels.
Yeah, yeah, but if you walk fast enough, it is, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You save some of those costs.
So we've talked a lot of the Triple Crown trails, not only in this podcast, but pretty much all of our podcasts. But you mentioned that I think it was your second through hike that you did the Pacific Northwest Trail.
Yeah, second one.
Give us a quick rundown on that. Because I'm familiar, but I don't know much about it.
So I had a set amount of funds. It was right after I graduated college. So I took a little more in student loans so I'd have enough to go hike for a little bit.
Brilliant.
And then, so it's, 1,200 miles. My favorite part, my favorite hiking I've ever done is when you walk on through Olympic National Park along the coast and the sun sets over the ocean every day. I found clams. I cooked them over a fire.
Wow.
Beautiful. And then there's some rougher parts. There was a lot of snow. So I did west to east. Uh-huh. So Olympic to Glacier, which is kind of the opposite of most people. But from there, and then you go, it kind of turns into a lot of, the trail's pretty rugged, at least in 2014. So there were days that my legs were pretty cut up from like brambles and thorns and stuff. And there's not great memories. It was pretty hard route finding sometimes. Mm. A couple creeks were a lot bigger than I would have thought because there's a lot less information than the AT, believe it or not.
Yeah.
but yeah, overall, I'd love to do it again. That's kind of one where it's like right after I did it, it got more organized, more trail work, kind of an organization guiding it and managing the whole thing. And the the volunteer effort. So that's one that in the future I'd love to do again, because it's really beautiful, so much potential, but it was a lot of trail connecting like a few logging roads and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And some pretty strange towns that get pretty interesting, but uh-huh. It was overall, it was fun. It was the perfect length and everything, but it wasn't quite to the level of the Triple Crown trails.
Sure.
So if like for all the trails in the Triple Crown, you're either going Nobo or Sobo.
Yeah.
What would you say for one that goes east to west?
Ebo.
Do you say Ebo and Wobo?
Weebo? No, I think you just say east and west since they're just as short as.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. I get it. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Ebo would actually icon.
Ebo. Yeah, I get behind
that's
Ebo.
Cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I want Ebo on that.
Yeah. It's hardcore.
I'm a PNT Ebo.
Yeah.
It's also my rap names. Check me out. Spotify.
You can't trust those Wobos.
Yeah, Wobos, get out.
So how much of the Pacific Northwest Trail is route finding?
Not as much as like spread around it feels like, but it wasn't so much route finding as you know where you're going, and there was a pretty grown over trail that I'm just getting cut up over. So I got lost a few times, but mostly in the Olympic Mountains where it was just pretty snowy and kind of had no idea where I'm going.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. So it's been 4 years now. I've heard it's quite a bit better and everything, but it's a beautiful trail. I love the Mount Baker area and stuff. And I still have a couple scars on my hand from rolling boulders on myself. So that was a rough situation.
How did that happen?
Well, so it was all snow, and then just like, you know, when you climb a mountain, it's like when it's melting, rocks roll down.
Yeah.
Hit a rock, was walking down and planted my hand. It rolled over the top of it and saw the bone, walked in an outhouse and took like a whole giant, like, I don't know, like industrial roll of toilet paper, wrapped it around my hand and sat on my hand for like 20 minutes so the bleeding would stop.
I feel like you've got like a lot of outhouse moments.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of shitty situations. Dad joke.
Drink every time there's a dad joke.
All right, drink.
I have one more question, which is that if someone's thinking about trying a calendar Triple Crown, what would your advice to them be? What have you learned that you would do differently?
Wow, we could go so deep on this.
Get deep.
All right. The first thing that I would say is there's two ways that you can definitely do it. So you can do it how I did with the AT first and then PCT and then southbound the CDT, or you could switch the PCT and CDT, or you can do the AT last, which you're kind of rushing against essentially the calendar then. But the second way, doing the AT last, is going to be quicker, but that's also where you have the stress and hoping you get through the first two trails fast enough. So just on the broad level, I think those are the two ways that you can essentially do it.
And if you did the AT last, you'd go Sobo?
Yeah, you go Sobo and you just, I mean, so either way, if you can go fast enough, you're going to hit like half of your hike is going to be in good conditions and the other half is going to be in bad. So like, I don't know, the last third or last 900 miles or so of the CDT, we're getting pretty cold at night and snow and stuff like that. And then some of the PCT at the or through the Sierras were as well. And then most the AT. So you just have to be prepared. It's going to eclipse four seasons, like no matter how you do it. You just have to be prepared that it's not a through hike and there's going to be not moments where it's miserable, but there's going to be a few days of misery, and you have to go into it kind of expecting that and love the type 2 fun.
Yeah. Everything that you've described about your AT experience sounds brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
So I got to ask, what inspired this goal to begin with?
Yeah. So when you hike, you have a lot of time to think. And in 2011, on my first through hike, it's like, wow, I wonder if I could do all these trails in 1 year. And it wasn't like a real thought, but it just planted the seed. And then, you know, it's like, okay, PNT, got that one. Then climb all the 14ers in Colorado. And it's like, wow, I really don't like this job. I'd like to move on and like go on an epic hike. I can come up with enough money to make it happen. Why don't I just try this? And then I think I just told my parents I was going to try it in December and left in February. It's like, let's just figure it out.
Yeah. Instead of talking through hiking, I'm curious, you've done all the 14ers in Colorado.
Yeah.
Which was the most challenging?
Oh, most challenging. Maybe like Snowmass, or when I did them like Maroon, North Maroon, Pyramid, because I tried to do them all. I did them all in a day, and it was a long day.
Aren't those the most deadly in Colorado?
Yeah. And so there's a video online. Everyone should look it up because it's crazy. Of the Maroon, North Maroon Traverse. Where a guy jumps from, there's like this like leap of faith or something. I think it's called the Maroon Bells Leap of Faith. Look it up. But that happened like a day after I did it. And this guy jumps from like this spot, maybe like 3 feet across, and the rock he lands on just tumbles down. Oof. Like,
was he would have died. Still?
No, he'd moved on to the ridge after. From. And the person videoing was on the other side. And so they had to climb around.
Holy Whoa. Fuck.
And so I didn't know all the, like, I don't know. They're not, I think it's class 4 at the most or something. So they're not that bad. But it was really just like, I did Rainier. And then it's like, oh, there's so many 14ers in Colorado. Let's just start trying them. And then just went through them all and then kind of figured out. Well, I took some unique routes and things on all these. And I think, so back to the single, I think Capital is probably the one where if you don't go on the exact route, you're kind of screwed with the knife's edge and everything. And two people died on that this year, wow. actually. So,
do you have a lot of climbing experience?
No, not really. I would say I'm self-taught with everything I have in life. So,
just a crazy person with a death wish.
Yeah, no, that's a jinx.
My last question is, what trail's next?
What trail's next?
I know, I'm so good.
I would love to do a C2C route and also the Great Western Loop. And then I will probably be done with some American hiking and look at other countries after those two. So that'll be like, you know, like 3 or 4 months, get those two done. Just kidding. No.
So just to tie things back together, the C2C route is also known as the Forrest Gump route, right?
Yeah, exactly. You run the whole thing and a crowd follows you, all with GoPros, and then you just say, I'm tired, I'm going to go home now, and that's when it ends. That's the terminus.
Perfect.
Is it a C2C route or is it the C2C route?
So it's like the C2C route where it's basically the Pacific Northwest Trail, Connector Trail, North Country Trail. I think it's Buck High Trail, a few other trails, and you just go from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean and then figure out how to get home.
At that point, you could just start swimming to Europe and then you can do a European trail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like the Kennebec.
It could again. Be a through swim.
Yeah. Huh. Ooh, you heard it here first.
This has been one of my favorite interviews. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been fun.
Yeah. You've got a lot of stories to tell. And after your next crazy adventure, you're going to come back on, because there's more digging to be done.
I will. There's a lot of digging.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
you're not
you.
Going anywhere. There's more show to be had. Actually, the story you were saying from, I think it was the Maroon Bells, where one person jumped from one point and the rock tumbled out underneath, reminded me. So I just came back from South by Southwest, and I was at the North American premiere of the Dawn Wall.
Tommy Caldwell.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not into climbing at all. Like, it's just not something that's interesting to me. But like I said, I'm not a climber. It's not a sport. I'm so entrenched in the through hiking world that like I just don't really have time for other sports aside from basketball. I like basketball a lot.
Game on, let's play.
Yeah. The Bulls are my team and they're awful. The one thing they should be doing is losing games. They're not doing a good job. Anyways. So I'm not into climbing. This movie was phenomenal. I'm not exaggerating when I say I laughed, I cried, I got goosebumps, I cheered. Like, all these things happened during this movie. I can't think of the last time I actually cried during a movie. I think it might have been The Lion King.
It's Tommy Caldwell. It was wild
for me.
Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen.
Jorgensen, yeah.
Hold on. Well, how do you pronounce it?
I think it's Jorgensen.
There's no N in here.
Well, but it's a silent N.
Jorgensen.
Do you have to have an N for it to be silent?
Yeah, right. Anyways, so they were there.
It's the backwards of it. The letter's not there, but you still pronounce it.
Yeah, it's a loud
non-existent N.
It's a loud, invisible N.
um, So they were there. They did a Q&A afterward, but I don't want to spoil too much. But the reason that made me think of it is there's a scene as they're climbing the route. So I think there's like 20 some pitches in order to get the entire thing. And I want to say it's like pitch 17. The route is so insane that they have to actually like jump from one point to the other and like grab on.
I know.
You're familiar with this already?
It's a dino and you have to
jump or something. Yeah. So that's what made me think of it. Cause like they had to practice this for months and months and months. And I guess if you followed their story, I guess this is not, I'm not spoiling anything for you, but long story short, when this documentary becomes available to you, see it. It's phenomenal. I'm not like, this is coming from someone that doesn't even particularly enjoy climbing.
And that's also our sponsor.
The Dawn Wall. This podcast brought to you by Tommy Caldwell.
It's not an episode of the podcast if you haven't mentioned that you like the AT and that you don't really like climbing.
Yeah, I don't like climbing. What can I say?
Because that was a topic of when you climbed the second Flatiron.
True. Did I mention my tree rings?
Ooh, what are those?
Yeah, so that's how you measure your years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is that how you count how many times you repeated things?
Well, here in Golden, they do recycle, it sounds like.
Okay, so a little bit of Trek propaganda. And this is time specifically because, you know, it's Springer fever right now. The no-bows are taking off on the AT. Which is a trail that I hiked in.
Wait, you hiked the AT?
And Springer, when you say Springer, what are you meaning?
I mean, it's the season between winter-er and summer-er. Yeah. Okay. It's Springer.
Springer.
It's more spring than winter now. Yeah. Oh. It's Springer.
It's Springer.
Yeah. But we put together, I say we, again, shout out to the Trek's managing editor, Maggie Slepian, put together an AT state profile of Georgia, but more importantly, we highlight 9 points in the state of Georgia that, you know, no-bows shouldn't miss. Let's see how many of these ring a bell to you and if you've got any thoughts on them.
See how many points I score.
Yeah, exactly. So have you heard of Springer Mountain before?
Yep.
Okay. So that's one of them.
George Springer.
Do you have any memories from Blood Mountain? This will be the second one.
I do. Yeah. There were a lot of really cute Georgia girls there. And I took my shoes and socks off and no one sat next to me.
Your feet smelled that bad 28 girls. Miles into the hit trail.
Yeah, exactly. It was a really nice day though. That's my memory.
What about mountain crossings?
The store there?
So
that's when I realized I'd lost my like society etiquette because I was like lifting up jackets looking for an outlet to plug in my phone.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, can we help you? It's like a charger. They're like, yeah, just right over here.
Yeah. They have to be used to that though.
Exactly. It was like just a little over a day and I'm already like not sure how to act in society.
And we're on topic of mountain crossings. There's 2 people that have worked there for a couple of years that should get a shout out. One of them is actually she was the first writer for Appalachian Trials after me. Carly Gentry.
Wait, you wrote a book?
No. I'm talking about the website now. But we can give a shout out to the book if you want. I don't even think we
have. Is Appalachian Trials a website?
It was back in the day. Huh. So if you go to appalachiantrials.com, it's going to redirect.
You finally got over it and took it down?
Yeah.
It's probably good.
I mean, we can get in the technical jargon. Carly Gentry was the first non-Zach Davis writer at Appalachian Trials.
Who's Zach Davis?
Some guy who talks about the AT too much.
I think he's the one that wrote A Walk in the Woods.
Wait, he's here with us.
I think he's the guy that like pioneered the tree ring metaphor for – anyways. If you're a no-bow hiking through mountain crossings and you have the pleasure of running into Rainbow Braid, is her trail name, Carly – the other one is Pretzel. I know that guy's got a larger than life reputation. I think he's been there for 3 or 4 years now. Very funny guy. Also from Illinois, like myself.
You're from Illinois?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Wisconsin all the time.
I went to school in Wisconsin.
Oh, interesting.
Identity crisis.
Just all torn up. So that's my mountain crossing spiel. Does Wolf Laurel top?
Ooh, Wolf Laurel top.
This is highlight number 4.
This is tough. I don't remember this one.
I actually don't remember it either. But it's cited here as one of the best places to camp and catch a sunrise.
So it's unforgettable.
If the internet says it has to be true.
Yeah. I mean, In the defense of this article, my recall of these sorts of things is not very good in general. Like, I couldn't name many peaks.
I guarantee it was cloudy and there was no sunrise to be had or sunset.
This next one is I doubt you went here. I didn't go here. This was a submission from a couple of our bloggers that called out Helen, Georgia.
Helen.
The town.
Oh, yeah. I went in here because there was an all-you-can-eat steak buffet on Sunday. It was Super Bowl Sunday. Went in here, was going to stay here, watch the Super Bowl. And it's like, well, in your article, I don't want to say that I didn't like it, but it's like, I'll listen to the Super Bowl on the radio from the trail.
Yeah. There's another restaurant that's called out here called Bodensee. Offers superb German food, and there were...
It's like a German town for
people.
The Leavenworth of the AT.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like it's like step younger sister twice removed.
Uh-huh.
But it's really nice. You should check it out.
The next.
All that aside.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a wonderful endorsement.
Yep.
Trey Mountain Shelter. Is this ringing any bells?
Trey Mountain. Yeah. I think I stayed there. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like we're quizzing him. What about this one?
I'm a yes man.
Did you go into Hiawassee? That's the next one.
A storm started that day. I went into the Taco Bell and was like, okay, I need to figure out that I'm going to be hiking in snow. So I went in, ate a bunch of Taco Bell, and it's like, I have to go back to the trail. I signed up for hiking in the winter. So that was the moment of realization. Like, all right, I have to start actually hiking in bad weather.
Yeah.
So
I'm not hating it. So I'm not doing the calendar triple correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's cold, I still have to hike.
I think this was around when you hiked. It was not when I went through in 2011 drink. The Papa Georgia Hostel, did you stop there?
I did not.
Okay, next.
I think that's like pretty not very far in, yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's in Georgia, yeah.
Mile 69.
Yep.
Great mile.
Drink. It's a giver and a taker.
Reminds me of Billy Madison when all the kids laugh at my sister Fanny and he doesn't get it because they're just laughing at Fanny and she goes, okay, turn your book to page 69. He goes, 69. No one gets it. And the last one is Plum Orchard Gap Shelter.
No.
Yeah, same. But you know, if you're a northbounder and you're trying to stoke your Springer fever a little bit, highly recommend checking out this article. There's some other goodies in here, including
you did a really good job of hyping up these places.
I mean, I hiked this trail 7 years ago. Forgive me for not remembering every shelter on the trail. So the recommendations come from people that hiked the trail last year. So they're much fresher off the boat and they hiked it during a normal season, unlike our guest.
Cool.
I'd recommend getting to North Carolina.
That's a good goal.
And then continuing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The border should also make that list because then you've made one state.
That's true. I feel like that sign is probably the most photographed sign on the entire trail, the Georgia-North Carolina sign.
Probably right after Springer Mountain.
I was going to say that.
Because people quit at mountain crossings.
How many miles is Georgia?
70-something.
Something in the 70s, okay. Yeah. And that's it. That's all we've got for today's show.
So where can we find you on social media?
Wow, you can find me on there. I just discontinued my MySpace, so that's not going to be an option.
Exclusively on Friendster now?
Yeah, I'm going backwards. I'm trying to bring it back. Actually, I'm paid by a Friendster, you know, still around.
Yeah.
No, you can find me on Instagram at TheFreeOutside. And if the person with FreeOutside handle wants to give it to me for like under 75 cents, I'll buy it from you. And then on Facebook, FreeOutside. And then what else is there? Twitter, The Free Outside will work there. Or freeoutside.com has everything.
I'm now remembering you did an interview with you. What was it? Last year, right?
Yeah, you did do a little write-up on me.
Yeah.
So by interview, he means he sent me questions and said, type in your answers and send them back to me.
That's how interviews work on the internet.
Yeah. Yep.
Zach sent me a poll once and it was like, it was that judging thing where you had to vote on things.
Oh, totally different.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that once too.
There was one spot and it said, what is your name? And I didn't know how that was relevant. So I just put what, and then I submitted it as is. And he texted me. He was like, are you the submission that put what as their name? I was like, oh,
yeah. Yes. Little inside baseball. That was for the Badger sponsorship. Cause I outsourced the voting of that. I want nothing to do with it. Cause I hate saying no to people.
I'm so glad Lizzie won. I loved her drawings.
Lizzie's was really good. And she's awesome. I've had a chance to do a Google Hangout with her. She's very cool and very deserving.
Shout out to Google.
Yeah. So before we wrap up the show, I'd like to say if you enjoy the show, please take out a second to review us on iTunes. That definitely goes a long way to helping other people find us. And seeing as such, I'd like to read a couple of, you know, just going to randomly pick some reviews here. They might just happen to be 5 stars.
I mean, most of them are, so.
Technically speaking, that's true.
This one is from Erica Kittens, and it says, "My only complaint about this podcast is that they aren't putting out new episodes quick enough. I'm a huge fan of the Trek and follow the hosts on Instagram, so I really enjoy listening to their fun chats. I'd love to hear some additional content on prep/planning for a through hike, but in the meantime, keep up the awesome work, guys."
All right. Oh, I mean, ask and you shall receive. Legend, how did you prep for your first through hike?
How did I prep? I bought a plane ticket to San Diego and had a friend give me a ride.
Perfect.
There you go. You heard it here first.
And just grab things from your attic. I mean, you'll figure it out. The PCT is great because the first 500 miles are learning miles. There's a little water considerations at the beginning, but really it's once you start, you'll know pretty quick if it's for you or not. And I recommend doing that. Get the essential gear and then decide if you love it. It's easier to upgrade than, you know, it is to quit with $2,000 of expensive gear.
What was your base weight going into your first hike?
Well, my pack weighed 57 pounds when I started at the border on my first hike.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Oh. It was an external frame pack, a Kelty, shout out. And I broke the frame because my pack weighed too much. And that's why I had to grab a pack from the Kennedy Meadows hiker box.
Wow. I feel dumb disagreeing with someone that's got like 5 times the backpacking experience that I do, but I'd say do a little bit more research than that. But it's a good point. You can get a trial run and figure out if it's for you. I just think that you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, let me give some real advice. So I would say look at, I mean, there's a lot of good used gear and stuff out there as well. And really for a through hike and starting out, like, I've gotten 10,000 miles on a pack. So if you find the REI garage sales are great, things like that. And there's so many forums and things online with the through hike starting out. And I was the same way. It's really hard to know what you like. Some people love tarps because, you know, they're really light and things. I love a tent and still hike as far as people with tarps. It's like, it's not about getting a 6 pound base weight. It's finding a way to have a great time on your through hike. So right. That's the biggest advice I'd give.
It's great advice.
Another thing to say to Erica Kittens is that we will be putting out more podcasts faster because you just bought us all these nice microphones and the editing process has gone way down.
We have legit gear now.
So you'll be getting more of us.
We were banking on the fact that, you know, we were going to get that $2 from Sean. So right. Now we can afford this.
How many months will it be before Sean has helped us pay this off?
So I think before the apocalypse, this gear will be
by the time you die.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's like a 12-year lease on these mics.
So I'm just going to randomly pick. Can you also read stinkers?
That didn't sound random.
Okay. Totally digging your newest big thing, Badger. Are you just getting me to read this so I can like hype you? Anyway, I'm a 2017-18 Nobo through hiker. This podcast is informative, interesting, and makes me have all the feels all over again. I definitely miss the trail community now that I'm back in the 9-to-5 working at a desk. Wow. I definitely miss the trail community now that I'm back in that 9-to-5 working at a desk life. And this podcast helps me to escape from that repetitive, mundane life. So thank you. Keep up the great work.
So if you guys have reviews that you'd like to share with the world, write them on iTunes. And there's a good chance that Chance will read them, especially...
I kind of like this one, too. I'm reading another one.
Okay.
This one from Autodraft. And it says, really enjoying these episodes. Some, maybe all, of the stories have literally increased my heart rate. You've got a good thing going here. The stories are all hiking related, but actually get into themes of emotion that can apply in any exceptional situation. I like that one because they don't even know that we're about to talk about anxiety in the next one.
That's a very good point.
Well, the last one, but next for them.
I'm going to do a new thing where we put our guest on the spot and he has to come up with his own iTunes
review. Oh, yeah. Give us a 5-star iTunes review on the spot right now. How good are we?
4.5 stars.
Well, you've already done it wrong. Continue. Fail.
Okay. 5 stars.
Okay. Strong arm. Good. That.
Actually, I like the reviews where it's like 4 stars, all good things about you guys.
Right. 5 is just unattainable.
Yeah, exactly. It's like no one gets it. Okay, 5 stars. I really like the quality of the microphones, but I would give it 4 stars because there's still 5 undrinking beers in the middle of the table.
All right.
But sure. 5 stars.
Challenge accepted.
Shotguns accepted.
I kind of like this as a new thing. At the end of the episode, we just put them on the spot and say, now give us a review.
That's a new segment for sure. Legend, thanks so much for coming out here, man. This has been a really fun chat, and we're going to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, now I'll walk home.
Good. That's, obviously, you walked here. That's the only way you're getting home.
Yep, 20 miles each way.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
I lied. The episode is not over because...
Oh, you don't need to put that.
What am I doing?
So, Zach, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, social media, right. That was the sign you gave me pointing
to your
phone.
Yeah, that's a social media.
Okay.
That's the last bit.
So everyone knows that the international sign of don't forget to mention your social media is just pointing to your phone. You can find us on social, on Instagram at Backpacker Radio, on Twitter at Backpacker Pod, I think. We're on Facebook as well. Me personally, I'm at ZR Davis on both Instagram and Twitter. I'm not important on Facebook. Chaunce?
I'm Juliana_Chauncey on Instagram and Juliana Chauncey on YouTube.
And you can find all the Trek social on the website at thetrek.co. We dropped the M because it was too heavy. Thanks everyone for checking into episode number 7. This has been a lot of fun.
Bye.
Thanks.